This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. It is Tuesday, right? Episode three of Michelle's season. Yeah, interesting episode. We have a lot to talk about. Before we get into that, let's chat about this weekend. We were out in NYC. Thank you to all that came out to not only a gig down at Penn 6, but also Ugly Duckling and all that fun stuff. So I appreciate you all coming out. It was a fun weekend.
Yeah, it was. It's always great to get back to New York. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time, but I tell you what, I cannot do. New York is a lot, man. New York, 48 hours is about what I can do. 48 to 72 hours, man. City
especially
doesn't sleep. City yeah. Don't sleep, man.
Nor does Blake.
Yeah. Yeah, you only went home like 3 hours before me that night on Monday night.
That Sunday still adds night. Up, though.
Sunday night. That was a really fun weekend.
It was. We met a lot of people, a lot of good people, a couple Bachelor people. Got to give Justin a shout out. I can't believe he hung with us for 2 days.
Justin hung 2 days. In fact, he stayed out longer, I think, on Sunday than even me, I think. So he likes to party. He was fun. No, I don't know if he likes to, but I think he had some FOMO and he wouldn't want to miss out on anything. But he was fun. A great guy. Shout out to Justin. Everybody go follow Justin Takes the Batch. Funny dude. Comments on all things Bachelor. So
yeah, he does some great recaps and he's a riot, man.
Yeah, he has these fun time.
Hoot.
Pete and Dustin came out. Connor came out. And then we went to Connor's little acoustic set.
Connor's good, man.
He is, right?
His original songs too, even like.
Yeah. I actually meant that. We didn't even really talk about it afterwards, but that's the first time I've sat down and listened to him not only sing, but like his actual original music. And it's good, guys. It's good. He's a talented singer and guitarist.
And pianist.
Yeah. I walked
is
out.
Is that how you call it?
Pianist. Yeah. I walked out of that little acoustic session being like, damn, like Connor's got some pipes and some skills. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what he does with all that.
Yeah. If you guys get the chance to see him, if he's ever in your city at one of these piano bars, yeah, definitely go check him out.
Yeah. I mean, I think, the show made it into a joke like they do most things. Mm-hmm. And he played along for the most part, but he's actually very talented, guys. And yeah, like Eric said, if you get a chance, go out and see him because I was thoroughly impressed.
Did you happen to notice? I wanted to ask him after the show. I was like, did you happen to write every fucking song on the mm-hmm. beach? Because every song, he's like, well, I wrote this one in paradise. I wrote this one.
You got
in
a lot
paradise.
Of downtime.
Yeah.
You say that. You got a lot of downtime on the show. But like the song he wrote about Katie after he left was like really good. Like the lyrics and everything. I was like,
sundress.
Shit.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, he's talented.
That was a good fucking song.
It was, man. I was thoroughly impressed. I left there and I was like, damn,
Katie
Connor's an actual
again.
Musician. Yeah.
He
needs to sing
Katie
that to Katie.
Yes.
Sure. Oh, does. Man. But yeah, that was fun. I got to see him.
Some other exciting news. I guess tonight we'll be in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Wednesday, Minneapolis coming for you. First time ever in Minneapolis. So really excited for that. And very excited to get back in front of some vinos. Vinos know how to freaking party. So I'm excited to get back. I haven't seen Caitlin. God, I don't even know how long.
I don't think we've seen her since we did our
in
Nashville house, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's last time I saw her. Gosh, that was over a year now. Well over a year and a half.
Yeah, it was like July last year. August last year.
She's been so busy. So I haven't seen Caitlin in forever. So looking forward to that and just kind of having some wine with her and talking shit on a podcast. Probably I'll probably look like an idiot. I'll probably confess something stupid per usual on that damn episode, on that damn podcast. But I'm really looking forward to it. Those live podcasts. If you don't have a chance to go to a live podcast, guys, it's insane. It is. It's like, it's better than a concert. I can't, it's insane. It's, and I'm also DJing this one. So,
and also it'll be you and Becca on stage together for Caitlin. Do you think Caitlin set that up purposely in Becca's hometown?
It worked. That's why I figured she was probably going to be the guest, because I'm only really able to make three locations because we're so busy. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I can make the first and the last. When I found out first is in Minneapolis, I was like, well, Becca's going to be the guest. So no, I mean, I'm not shocked by that. And it, yeah, I don't even know the format really. I'm DJing the opener, intermission, and then obviously the end, and then I'm sure I'll be out there maybe for parts of the podcast. We'll see. And yeah, look forward to that. It's Minneapolis coming for you. You
play PD Pablo, I'll truffle shuffle.
I'll tell you what, think I played a girly set before this? This will be the girliest set of all time.
Well, I just requested PD Pablo. I don't know where that got girly.
No, I'm saying I'm not going to play PD Pablo because I will be playing the most sing-along set of all time, which actually is my favorite set. So every time I play those sing-along songs, people love it. So mine way too. More than PD Pablo and that stuff. Yeah, you do. It's the best.
Do you think Michelle will make an appearance? Because she's in Minneapolis as well.
No.
She'll dip in and say hi?
No. I don't think that's I think that's against her contract. I don't think can just, yeah. She can't do public appearances, no way.
She's at the T-Wolves game courtside.
That's not a public appearance. That's her enjoying a basketball game.
Like, she could come in and join and see Caitlin.
No, she will not. No, she will not be there. Yeah. And then I'll be in Nash this weekend, but not playing any shows or anything. Just going out there, see some friends. And then my new roommate moves in this weekend. And you guys don't know who that is yet, but you'll find out soon.
I think everyone knows who that is.
No, I get asked all the time.
Every time I see her talk about it, everyone says your name. When are you moving in with Blake?
I get asked all the time. We'll be right back. Let's get in the episode. Let's get in this episode. Some drama. A lot of drama this episode. Kind of kicks off with Michelle in her feels a little bit. You know, it kind of ended last time with Jamie having that conversation with her about some of the guys. Not sure about her intentions and her and Joe had seen each other, blah, 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 blah. So she was kind of in her feels a little bit and she was worried and hurt. I think she was hurt a lot because she doesn't want the guys to think that she's there for the wrong reasons, I guess. Yeah.
The question of her character.
Yeah, her character, exactly. So that's her fix up, and we kind of go into the first group date, which, dude, but what a fucking cool date.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I was going to say, and also the guys seemed very concerned about Michelle and like wanting to check in, and everyone seemed a little shook up by that.
Yeah, and they're all very interested to see which guy said it, because still Jamie hasn't said anything.
And even still, did you notice even the beginning of the episode when Jamie's talking? It's almost like when Jamie talks, it's like he doesn't even believe what he's saying himself. Like his facial expressions are always like questioning his own words.
We're going to have a lot to say about Jamie, I think, here at the end here, because I know I do. Because I agree. Like sometimes this guy is like, whew. He's tripped up. He tripped up a little bit. And it shows the whole episode pretty much. So we go into the first group date. What a cool fun. This is probably one of my probably favorite dates I've seen since I started watching the show. First of all, I love jets, love planes. I want to be a pilot growing up and everything. And Top Gun's one of my favorite movies. The new movie, Top Gun Maverick, two of the actors in it are there. I just thought it was such a cool idea for a date. You know, because I feel like they've been recycling lately. So this is something new, something different.
What would your call sign be?
I don't. Balake? No, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what it would have been 3 years ago, like what I would have worn to something like that. Like
Stagecoach.
Yeah, Stagecoach. This is before Stagecoach, right? Though. So if I saw the
Bachelor. Was that Eddie? Was that Eddie chiming Eddie in?
Yeah, you know, come on. I don't know what mine would have been, dude. Great question.
You didn't have any nicknames like football wise, like
when playing ball? Remember the Titans, that quarterback? I was a quarterback in high school. What was his Sunflower? No. Sunshine.
Sunshine.
Sunshine. Remember? Yeah, remember? Sunshine. Yeah, so everybody used to call me Sunshine just because off of that, because that was big. Remember, the Titans was big when I was in high school. But no, dude, you can't. It's hard to do Blake. What do you do as a nickname?
What? That you is know? True.
And I don't have any like distinguishing like tattoos or frosted tips or like, dude, I don't know. I've never had a nickname.
Mine would have been Snowman.
It's fucked up.
Why is that fucked up?
So you think they would have been like Snowman?
That was like one of my nicknames, like playing ball and stuff. So like,
gotcha.
Big white guy.
Okay. Like, oh, big white guy. Okay. Snowman. That is pretty good.
Easy the Snowman is what they call me because I was laid back, chill.
Yeah. I liked Doughboy. I thought that was a fun nickname for Peter. Frosted Tips was funny.
I do think it's funny though. Doughboy, like who was it? Is one of the eliminated guys. Like Doughboy does mean something different. Like
in
the hood.
Yeah, exactly. Which really was hinting at. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Doughboy is
It means you're badass. Like you're. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, you're. Yeah.
Yeah. You got that street cred.
Yeah, you got street cred, and everybody was like, "What the fuck is he called Doughboy?" You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I liked the idea of the nickname thing, and then I loved. What came first? Was the G4 thing was first?
Yeah, they did like push up high needs, little boot camp, they did this, and then the G4. Oh, I would have lost my shit on that.
Dude,
that
I would G-force. Actually love that. See, I would love to try that. I would love to try the G4s. So just so you guys know, these dates last a very long time, like 12 hours. So they did a lot of different things throughout, but they only show certain things. Like you said, they did push ups, high knees. I bet they did a ton of other things related to being a pilot and, you know, boot camp, if you will. But they showed the G4 thing because I love how they made it into like a, you have to still like talk to Michelle about, you know, and like spill your heart out to Michelle while you're flying around in this G4 machine. Some of the guys were struggling. So Willie, the whole thing started with Peter and Willie. Yeah, Peter is rubbing me the wrong way, man. And I don't say that about a lot of guys.
He seems to be rubbing everyone the wrong way. Dude,
Peter is rough, man. I mean, you could tell that I wonder what he did during his like, I don't know, like to get on the show, you know what I mean? During his interviewing process, because man, if I saw him, I'd be like, bingo, he's going to be drama. Like, I feel like you just know that guy is going to be drama.
Cause he does have just a big personality,
And he's got big ego. He's got a big ego, you know, he thinks he's God's gift to earth. And it shows, I mean, he spoke Italian, right? In the G4, he spoke some Italian, and then Willie jumps in there and he speaks some Spanish and he's all pissed off. Because he feels like, you know, Willie stole his idea or his move. And I don't know, which I get to a degree, but it just seems like it's very easy to get this. He has short temper. Like, I think he's got a quick temper and it's easy to get in his head a little bit. And I think the producers definitely knew that. And all of a sudden he just thinks Willie's the worst human alive. He just thinks Willie is a fucking monster.
And this obviously carries over from the classroom day too.
Yeah, where he
called him a narcissist.
Narcissist.
And clearly,
I think he nailed it right on the head. exactly right. So they go into like the physical portion. There's always a physical portion of dates,
which
like
is kind of cool too. They call that dog fighting, which that's what like the what old World War II. This is probably more of a Eddie conversation because Eddie is a pilot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So current pilots dog fight too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just so like it's just it's like when two aircraft fight.
Which did you? There were only two matchups to watch here.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton just blew right through Nate. Oh my!
Clayton's a big guy. Clayton's a big man, and I think he can throw his weight around pretty good. I would not want to go against Clayton, dude.
Yeah, that's just a freight train coming at you.
He's a big man, and I think he's strong as fuck. He looks strong.
Well, I mean, he's an NFL player. I mean,
he looks strong as hell.
They throw around grown ass men, 300-pound men for a life.
Yeah. If that was a round robin, I think Clayton's walking out of that with the W for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But they just pick people to go against.
And then obviously Will and Peter. Peter no-showed. Where are you at, man?
Dude, I thought I was like, I was excited. And then Will just fucking crushed him. And after I saw that, I was like, oh, Will is pretty, like his arms are pretty big. And so I was like, he does actually look pretty strong. But I thought Peter was going to put up a little bit of a fight. I don't think Peter won. At least they didn't show Peter winning a single bout.
Didn't even show like Peter putting up any kind of
fight. Will didn't even like have to step back once.
No,
Will dominated him in the it was like the old gladiator thing too. Remember the old American gladiators? Jousting. It was kind of like a jousting thing. But Will fucking dominated. And then at the end of the day, they picked Maverick. you know, they picked Maverick, whoever not only won the events, but I think the one Michelle appreciated the most and everything. And that was definitely Willie. Willie gets the Maverick jacket, which is good for him. Seems like a good guy. Little Willie. We go into the night portion, and that's where the drama starts. And I will never forget in my season when Chris Randone and Lincoln kind of fought the way Peter and Will did, where they were just kind of like saying the most dumbest shit to each other, right? They're trying to get under each other, like say smart, witty things, but it's not sounding smart or witty.
This is super petty.
He's like, pull the tissues out of your jacket, man. Wipe the tears. Like shit like that. And I was just like, what is that? And I remember all the other guys were doing the same that like me, I was. I was just like, the fuck is this? They're just going at it, at each other. Call, you know, you're being disrespectful. No, you're being disrespectful. Grow up. Blah, blah, blah. You don't even own pizza joints. It was a terrible fight. Terrible. If you're going to fight, like fight. Like that was just a terrible argument.
Yeah, it was just childish and petty.
Yeah, it's very childish. Very childish.
And you got Nate just sitting there chilling, drinking his wine. Like
I think all of them are just like, what the fuck?
They're just so over. Like, yeah.
Rick guy is just like, dude, like, stop. Like, it's, yeah. And I agree 100%. So annoying to watch.
And also, kind of like during the Top Gun date and the nighttime date, Martin seems to be getting surprising a lot of people, especially Michelle.
That was my favorite conversation, I think, was Martin. He pulled her aside during the date. Mm-hmm. She really appreciated that. I like how he said, and he's so right. He said, you know, I think a lot of the guys are all worried about getting time with Michelle and blah, blah, blah. But he's like, nobody's really thinking about Michelle and how hard this is for her. I was like, bingo. That is exactly right. It's so fucking hard for the lead to do it. But nobody really thinks about that because they're also worried about their time and getting their time and getting their screen time and their time with Michelle and the blah, 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 and the drama in the house. And so, yeah, I agree. I think it was great for Martin to sit her down and actually ask how she is doing, you know, how she's doing. And she clearly appreciated that. And I think that surprised her. And it surprised me. I feel like he kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. He's had some screen time and some conversation, but
he wasn't even on my radar at the beginning of this. I thought he was going to be like that greasy Miami guy. Like,
yeah. I remember
super scummy
that.
And definitely not.
No. Yeah. He did a good job tonight. And then next up, well, kind of the big conversation, but when Will was talking with Michelle, the big confrontation happened. And that's when Peter decides to take the Maverick jacket, right? Takes the Maverick jacket.
Bomber.
And at first, the bomber first puts it on and is like, you know, waddling around, you know, being like my jacket now, blah, blah, blah. But then decides to go over to the pool and toss it in the pool. And that's when I think the other guys were like, this guy's a fucking clown. You know what I mean? I think that was when they were like, okay, Mike, taking the jacket and putting it on is one thing. Tossing in the pool is a joke. And I actually, hot take here, I don't know if people are going to agree with me, but I actually think Peter realized he took it a step too far. Like, I think even he, when he saw the reaction to the guys, saw the reaction of Will, I think even he was like, damn, like, I probably took it a little too far because I think that could have escalated. I thought Will handled that super well. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was childish. Again, childish.
And it was also kind of cool how the guys were like, when Peter went to talk to Michelle, the guys were like, yo, I know it's going to be hard to swallow this one, man, but do it for the group here.
Yeah. Don't say anything.
Don't let this ruin the night for everybody.
Yeah, they were like, don't tell Michelle. They were like, just be the bigger man. Don't say a word. Don't even acknowledge him. But man, he got emotional about his jacket. In that environment, I've said this a thousand times, in that environment, everything is 1,000 times more intense. But like when you step back and you're like, this dude's crying over his jacket getting tossed in the pool, it's kind of funny. But like I said, in the environment, that is like a big deal. Getting a jacket from Michelle is a huge deal.
It's almost Peter, like a rose, right?
Yeah.
In a way.
Mm-hmm. In a way. And Peter tossed it into the, but he handled it well. He didn't confront him, didn't ruin the night for him. So shout out to Lil Willie for keeping his composure there.
Yeah.
And Peter not keeping his composure at all. And then at the end of the night, Martin gets the group date rose, which is good for him. I think it was great. I think it was a good pick too, with the conversations they had and everything. So it was awesome on them.
Yeah. And then they get a little private concert.
Cute little Top Gun. Which this Top Gun soundtrack's underrated. Actually, it's not. I think it's rated just right because it is one of the best movie soundtracks of all time. But that song I hadn't heard in a while and they played it. I was like, I love this song. Cool moment for her and Martin.
And at least ABC got a nice, nice video of Will fishing out the
bomber
of the pool.
And the best part is they overlap that with Michelle going, I have a bunch of really good guys and they seem very mature and there was no drama tonight. Yeah, it's so funny the way they edited that. And he's fishing it. Oh, brutal. Oh, man. And then let's get to this one-on-one date, dude. This surprised me a little bit. I love Rodney, this guy, though. Yeah, Rodney is one of my favorite guys of the season, man. But I was shocked he got the one-on-one because we haven't really seen – it seems like she does have a really good time with him, though, right? Like –
they have such a playful relationship. Like he's just, it's just so lighthearted and just goes with the flow.
Yeah. He's that guy. I think. Yep. Yeah. He's that guy. I think for Michelle to escape and to just have a good time, not intense conversations, not intense, like just laugh with each other. And that's, you know, I feel like every bachelorette and every bachelor has one contestant that's like that. Rodney is that for Michelle. And I love this date. It was like a very simple date. Yet it seemed like they had a blast.
Yeah.
They just had so much fun. It was basically just truth or dare.
Truth or dare, yeah.
Yeah, truth or dare. Different things throughout the hotel, I guess, that were planted. And they had certain things they had to do, like be handcuffed and open boxes. And they had a blindfold, Michelle, feed of food.
It was pretty cool. Because the role was reversed and Rodney got to get back at her a little bit with the taste testing of food. Yep. And
Then he had
streaking through the lobby.
Had a streak through the lobby with her on a mic megaphone yelling, this is our journey. And the guys coming out and Caitlin and Tayshia, of course, come out and see it. And so, and he's a good sport. You know, he strips down, gets the, you know, the pillow or whatever, covers himself, but has fun with it. And they just seem to have like, a blast.
My mom's going
to
kill me. My mom's going to kill me.
And I love that. That was really funny. I like him a lot. He seems really lighthearted. I don't know if I see a huge connection with them as far as romantically, but as far as a friendship and just vibing, they seem great together. We get into the night portion of the date. And it was cool to hear, you know, obviously we hear Rodney's story. Even Michelle opens up a little about her family and her parents' relationship, which was pretty cool to hear. And although I thought good conversation. I mean, what did you take out of that?
Oh, I thought the biggest thing I took away from it, I think, was, and maybe I might disagree with you a little bit on the love connection or whatever, because she does seem to use her parents' relationship as an example a lot. Mm-hmm. And she said, that is one thing my parents still do to this day is laugh together all the time and always having fun, popping jokes. And maybe maybe Rodney does kind of fill that void. And she sees maybe a lot of her father
in
the way he conducts himself.
It's a good point as far as like her parents' relationship. I still don't see him in the top like six or anything, but I mean, she clearly has that connection with Rodney, but weirdly enough, I think she has that connection with a lot of the guys. I think she's a laugh. Like, I think she's a funny person and likes to laugh. Like her and Nate laugh a lot.
Yeah.
So I think she has that. I think she's just a very, like, I think she's able to laugh at herself and have fun with a lot of things, but it is different with Rodney than other guys. Mm-hmm. And I think Rodney's just a funny fucking guy. Like, I think anybody would laugh around Rodney.
Yeah.
He's a funny dude. But yeah, a good conversation, good night portion. He gets the rose from her, which not a shocker. They had a great date. We'll be right back. Yeah. So we go on to the next group date.
I love this one.
Normal format. Really? This is one of your favorite ones?
Well, I love poetry. I do love spoken word.
Yeah.
Like it's just very powerful and like intense.
It is very powerful and intense. And to that, it's very powerful and very intense to do it in that environment. I didn't do a poem. I wrote a song.
Oh, that's right. Was it?
Yeah.
Did you guys do the Wayne Newton thing?
Wayne Newton. It was so intense. Like the pressure to... Because they were in front of like a world-renowned poet, you know, and I was in front of fucking Wayne Newton. And I had to sing a song, write a song, and then sing it in front of Becca and then the guys and a live audience. So it was like so intense. So every time I see a date like this or a challenge, if you will, like this, and the guys crush it, like it says a lot about them because it is incredibly difficult. And some of these guys nailed this.
All of them did except for Jamie.
Jamie, yeah. Jamie struggled a little bit, but yeah, I was shocked how many of these guys crushed it out of the park, man, crushed it out of the park. And it's funny because I think Jamie prides himself on speaking well, and then he kind of fumbled pretty bad. Yeah.
He didn't grasp the concept of that.
No, exactly.
He missed.
He did not understand the assignment. Did not understand the assignment. But yeah, I mean, I think the biggest person obviously who jumped off the page to her was Brandon.
Which I have said since the beginning, like that's my sleeper. That I do have sleeper. Him top five, top six, or five or six probably. Yeah. And he's surprised back to back group date roses.
Oh, that's true. He got on the first day too.
Yeah.
Or like first week.
He's doing well.
Yeah, here. He is doing well. Shout out to Brandon. He is proving himself a contender because I feel like you're right. He was a sleeper, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Jason was a sleeper. Yeah. If you come in late, you're just consistent. You don't get in any drama. Like you can form a really good bond and a really good relationship with the lead. So Brandon is on that Jason track right now. He is on that track right now. So yeah, we'll have to keep an eye out on him.
Also, I want Michelle's when she took the stage there. Her poem was incredible.
Yeah, very good.
That was it was amazing, strong. It was moving.
Mm-hmm.
She hit everything.
I think the cool thing about Michelle, and I think why she makes such a good bachelorette, is she's able to be the playful, the laugh at herself, the laugh at everyone and have a good time, but also turn it on and be intense and to fall in love and to need to be, that strong woman when you know called upon. And I think that's what makes a great bachelorette. And she has all those attributes. And that's why I think it's been so fun to watch her so far. She's doing a really good job.
And it's almost like she's really doing a fantastic job of weeding through the bullshit very early here in her season.
Yep. She has not to bring up the teacher thing, but she has that teacher demeanor where she just was like, she could command a room. But she teaches some of these kids, she treats like they're, you know, middle schoolers.
Yeah,
exactly. Like children. I mean,
a lot of them are. Like they're acting like children. You're going to be treated
and,
like a child.
Yeah, she's doing a good job of that. So let's get into that because we go to the cocktail hour before the rose ceremony.
Well, no. As the guys were leaving that group date that night, Jamie pulled the producer aside and just went fucking off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what does he do? Like, it was almost like he was God's gift to the show.
Yeah.
Because he was like, why is she in spring break mode? Am I really competing against guys like Brandon? Like, what is he saying? Like, why?
Yeah. And the fact that the show showed this conversation says a lot, I think, because I clearly think that Jamie has a side that Michelle isn't. Obviously, Jamie has a side that Michelle hasn't seen. And I think by the show showing that conversation, they wanted us to see that Jamie has this side. And so it's not like sprung upon us all of a sudden, which I think we've seen it throughout. Like he's been pretty fucking sketchy throughout. But you're right. I don't know. It's 3 weeks, three rose ceremonies. In that time, that's like fucking 7 days, guys. Seven days. So for him to be acting this way already is pretty ridiculous.
Especially after such a great one-on-one date they had.
Yeah.
Which is, right? I don't, it's like, dude, you got a rose.
I think he's a little insecure.
And we'll get into this later, but Nate clearly calls him out about like being worried about Brandon.
Yeah.
Joe.
Joe. Yep. So we go into the cocktail hour. There's already still the fact that still nobody knows who talked to Michelle about, you know, the whole Joe and Michelle knowing each other thing is crazy to me. Like, how has it not slipped? How is Michelle? Has nobody asked Michelle? Like, it is crazy to me that nobody knows yet. And that's obviously hanging over not only the cocktail hour, but a lot of the guys. And Rick, who, by the way, I like Rick a lot.
I do too.
Yeah, I like Rick a lot.
I almost find him to be like kind of like the Rodney thing piece for Michelle too, because he seems like an escape for her.
I like Rick. I think he's a bit of a sleeper. But they have great conversations. Every time they talk, they have great conversations. And this conversation started great. You know, Rick and her started great. But then I can't even remember how exactly I got to it. But Michelle tells him, you know, Jamie was the one to me.
Well, Rick just...
Did he ask?
He did. He was like...
Oh, did he? Okay.
He was like, I want to clear the... Because he pretty much was the voice of all the guys. And he brought it to her attention. He was... I think his words were, he wants to clear the air that he and none of the guys were feeling or questioning her character. And then that's when Michelle opened up and said, well, Jamie told me about this.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
which I think is good that he did that.
Oh, I do too. 100%. Somebody needed to, because otherwise Jamie would have just kept skating by, you know, like he was just kept skating by. So Rick is flabbergasted because he even says at one point, Rick's like, Jamie doesn't seem like the man who would hide that from us, or doesn't seem like the man that wouldn't own it. And I think I agree. If we didn't see what we've seen, we've seen only what Jamie has showed the guys, only what Jamie has showed Michelle, I would also think he's a man of integrity and character. But that's not the case. That is not the case. So Rick ends up telling some of the dudes, you know, hey, Jamie was the guy. So I think it was Nate, Rick.
And was it Casey? No. I think it was Casey.
It was Casey. It was, yeah. Casey, they confront Jamie. And Jamie just starts fucking shitting himself. Like the amount of
running word vomit, in a fucking circle.
Dude, here. The amount of word vomit that was coming out of his mouth, because he knows he's in the wrong. You know, he fucked up, and he knows he's tried to lie and hide it all the way till now. And he just still won't really admit that he messed up.
Or and I really love even Nate through all of this, because Nate is just not
letting him get away
any of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Like this not is letting him get away. With it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And which is good, because I think some guys would have been like, okay, or whatever. But he just kept not egging him on, but kept prying into like why or who said this, blah, blah, blah. You can't say who, because you don't know who, because it didn't happen. You know, that kind of stuff. So good on Nate. I thought he handled that fantastically. And before we get into the Michelle and Jamie conversation, let's talk about Nate and Jamie's, or Nate and Michelle's conversation.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was so that was cute. Fun.
Let's just run away. Yes. Let's go.
Yeah, let's just run away. And she takes off her heels and they just run away together.
How badass would that be if a show just ended like that? And you're like, are they going to come back? Like, what do you
think? Such a cool moment. And I think it says a lot of, again, their playful side. But they also I see a lot more romance between them than I do Rodney and Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
But still playful. Yeah. So Nate's going to be around a while. I think we picked him both in our top four.
Definitely top three. Top. Yeah.
Yeah. He might be a fantasy suiter for sure. So that was a cool conversation and everything. But unfortunately, there weren't many other conversations the rest of the cocktail hour, because Michelle kind of comes out. And I think she actually was coming out to grab some other guys to have conversations. She's like, what's going on here? The vibe in the room's off. Yeah. Something's wrong. The energy.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's when, you know, I guess Jamie's kind of, or, you know, the guys are like, well, we found out Jamie was like, oh, and Jamie was trying to express himself. And Michelle was like, let's just fuck this. Like, let's just go and talk on our own, because I didn't expect this. They go off and talk. Still, Jamie can't seem to put into words what he was thinking, why he said and did what he did. And Michelle finally was just kind of like,
yeah, he just couldn't backpedal out of this.
Yeah, he couldn't backpedal quick enough. And she was like, bye. She was just like, I'm going to have to send you home, which you respect. You would always respect a lead who throws out the trash, but the lead who will send home the people who are causing the drama and the people who are lying to her and the guys. You know, I remember Tayshia did a good job of that. A lot of really good leads will do that. So shout out to her. And I think the guys respected it. They respected it a lot. They loved seeing it. So yeah, for the most part, Jamie's gone. And then I was going to say for the most part, the bad guys are gone. Because then Peter leaves she sends him home during the restaurant. That's two of the guys, you know, where she was like, no, I'm not going to have this crap. I'm out. She sends him home, which shows, I mean, it says a lot about Michelle as the lead of the show. I thought
Peter was going to go a little bit further.
I did too. But when it was down to Lil Willie and Peter, I was like, oh, Will's going to get the rose. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I thought Peter's going to be around another. Their drama it wasn't peaking. I feel like it wasn't quite at the peak drama that it could have been with Will and Peter. When I thought it was going to hit next week, but they went home, man. So yeah, who I don't, you know, the other guys went home.
Peter, did Malico home?
I honestly don't know.
The guy with the yellow hair. I think it was Spencer and LT.
Ooh, okay. Spencer. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And LT. I don't know much about him at all.
Yeah. So four guys went home. She canceled. So that's she canceled that canceled that cocktail hour again. So that's two in a row. She's kind of not canceled, but cut short.
And looking forward to the preview of next week. Looks like there's more fucking drama at the cocktail hour.
Yeah.
It's like now this Chris guy starts some shit. Is it Chris? The schoolboy.
Oh yeah, the Chris.
It's Chris. Yeah, like what's next? Like,
there's always something, man. There's always something. show doesn't disappoint when it comes to the man drama. But yeah, I think we're still, you know, the first few weeks where we get the drama. I'm hoping we start to see, I mean, I feel like the only person I really see a connection with right now is Nate, like a real legitimate could go home together.
I could see Joe. Brandon.
She clearly is into him, but I haven't seen the conversation like her and Nate, but she's clearly attracted to that man. We'll see. I think we'll get one more week of drama and then hopefully we see some relationships start to hopefully, dude, can we talk about how Clayton's gotten zero screen time and he's our fucking bachelor?
And he's got to be top five, right?
What's the plan here? Like, what is the plan? Yeah. What is ABC thinking right now? Like, it's bizarre to me. I thought Clayton was going to be the star of this season and he's been in the background most of the time. Yeah, and the parts we've seen of him.
Maybe they edited it out so that maybe you get to know him next season.
Maybe, but like even the parts we've seen of him, I haven't been that impressed. Like, it's not been bad. Yeah. But it's not been like super impressive where, that's my bachelor. Yeah. I haven't felt that once, you know,
Let me spin you around a little bit here, Michelle. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this today. We'll talk about this a little bit, but did you hear Pete's podcast today at all?
No, but I saw somebody say something about what was spoken on that.
So apparently I agree. I find it bizarre that they're doing right into another bachelor. We're going right into another bachelor.
Back-to-back bachelor seasons. That's
right. I agree. I think it's bizarre. I kind of get it in a way because I think some of it has to do with Jesse Palmer's schedule. Mm-hmm. I think they need to have him so he can still do football. I think that's probably part of the contract. So they had to move Bachelor to that season anyway. But I think it could be Clayton's season's going to be a little rough. And apparently Pete met some girls from Clayton's season.
Uh-oh.
And they have said the same. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be super interesting. He obviously isn't going to say. He didn't say.
Oh.
He's just like, listen, I have met a couple girls from Pete's season or from Clayton's season. And let's just say there's a reason there's going to be another bachelor. He's like, I'm not going to go into more tea because I'm not going to get these girls in trouble. Oh. But, yeah. So, and that could mean that maybe the girls suck. I don't know. You know, like I think sometimes the girls or the guys make a bachelorette season, the girls make a bachelor season. So maybe the girls suck. Who knows? But
Clayton. Yeah. Nothing exciting about him as of right now. Like, why would I want to watch him for 12 weeks or however long the season is?
In fact, as of right now, he's boring. Like, this isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's bad if you're the lead of a network television show. You know, I'm sure he's a good dude, but right now he's bland as fuck. You know,
let's just get you and Andrew back to back.
Yeah. Tell you what, that wouldn't be bland, baby.
No, it wouldn't.
Oh man. All right, cool. Well,
except for you fall in love every night, and that's trouble.
No, that's good TV, isn't that?
True. It's trouble, but it's great television.
Yeah, it makes good TV. All right, cool. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next
week. Drop us a review, 5 stars.
All the above.
Show some love.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world-famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, Behind the Rose.